in the studio, Matej Volsky, concertmaster of the Spokane Symphony Orchestra and a frequent guest here at Spokane Public Radio. This is a little bit different if you can visualize this in the new COVID regime. Matej is on the other side of the glass from me in the performance studio with his violin at the ready. And so this is all brand new stuff for all of us. So good morning, Matej.
Good morning.
All right, and I already have to do something, which is to bring your level up higher.
Oh, there you go. So I'm going to, we are experimenting. Yeah, this room is a little bit more vibrant than the typical studio, so the sound probably for our listeners might be a little slightly more challenging.
Well, it just kind of has an aura around it, but this is the first time we've actually done this particular setup here. So it's kind of an experiment, but it's one I think that can really expand what we can do during this time.
Well, it seems like everybody's using me as a guinea pig, so including the symphony.
You can put it on your resume now as one of the accomplishments.
Yeah.
Well, Matej, welcome, and it's been entirely too long since you've been in here, but it's really good to have you back. How have things been going for you in this? What kind of adaptations have you had to make?
Well, the adaptations are such, like, probably like most of the other performing artists, you basically are stuck at home all the time, and you know, when you wake up, you decide, should I practice or should I not? Because there's not really a gig on the books. No, but I mean, fun aside, actually, we have been doing quite a few recording projects with the orchestra, or I did some recording projects also for the KSPS TV station. So, kind of occupying yourself with, trying to figure out how can I go somewhere where I can be safely distanced and separated from the tech crew and play some music. And actually, some magical things happened recently, because I actually recorded with my colleagues from the Spokane Symphony a clarinet quintet, and we were able to get on the Fox stage. You know, kind of sit really, really far away from each other, which makes playing chamber music very, very challenging. You know, you don't realize how much you rely on your kind of senses that pick up somebody's subtle breath to line things up together, or with the corner of your eye, you can see the movement. Now you're masked, and some of your colleagues sit like 18 feet from you.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you're just in a very, very different environment, so to speak. It's hard to hear, and I mean it's like, I feel like all of us that are doing this kind of projects, we are leveling up our new skills, because on one hand you have this whole idea that you cannot really hear, you cannot really see your friends the way you normally would. Then on top of that, you add the whole pressure of, okay, I'm not really playing a performance, I'm playing something that is caught on tape. And whatever imperfections might make it there, it stays there forever. And to shake that feeling, it's really challenging. It takes practice, because, you know, we all we play music to be in a moment. And when you're very self-aware, it's hard to do. And so it takes, I would say it probably takes about 20 minutes. That's my science at this point. If I'm in a session for about 20 minutes, and starting to play, you know, roughly in that time, I start to forget that there's all this, you know, recording, and actually I start to play music. But that's really challenging.
Have you had to do any Zoom recordings of with colleagues?
To be quite honest, not. I mean, there's not really a robust technology that allows you to play together with another person in a different locations. What I have done is I collaborate with the wonderful pianist Archie Chen, that probably your listeners are familiar with, we did things like, hey, I record my part and you record your part. We kind of try to rehearse remotely, And then when we actually recorded each individually at home and then stitch it and put kind of a performance together, we did that early in the pandemic. Now, again, the orchestra is slowly starting to come out of the hibernation, and we do projects where we kind of test what we can do, how we can space and distance. You know, the other challenges is that there's very limited time that we can actually be on stage to rehearse or record. Our typical rehearsal, just to give you an example, in the past would be we get on the stage and for an hour and 15 minutes we can rehearse. And then if we play a concert, I think we can go like 90 minutes if there's a very long piece. But now, especially if you play with the wind instruments, the regulation is you have to play for, you can play up to 30 minutes, and then you have to have a 30-minute break for the air in the theater to essentially cycle out. So, you know, we have to assume somebody has the bug and nobody else wants to catch it. So this is the way how to mitigate that. But as I told you earlier, when you have this whole concept of, okay, the mics are on, I'm recording, and you only have 30 minutes to record, but you really start to get into playing music in about 20-minute mark, then that leaves you with about 10 minutes of like good playing. And then, you know, so that makes it, again, it makes it incredibly challenging, but you know, we're musicians. We are adapting as quickly as we can. And actually I did have already a number of situations where we would record and then all of a sudden something happens. And even you have those big distances for us, but you feel connected with your colleagues. And you feel like the magic is back, and that feeling, it's something that, you know, I've been missing so much. I didn't realize, I was talking with my wife the other day, that, you know, there is a routine of going to the Fox and playing a concert and getting this tremendous shot of adrenaline before the performance, and then when you do a good job, there's this high that you do, and I'm conditioned with that for, you know, last 20 years or so, like pretty much every weekend experience that, and when you take it away from me, you know, I'm milling around the house doing house projects and stuff, and I feel like something is just missing. It's not there, and I'm like, what is it? You know, like the world is off besides all the obvious stuff. So that kind of. We're all kind of upside down these days. So, but for me, that realization really kind of hit me a few weeks ago.
Right. I'm wondering if there might be a silver lining in terms of, you said that when you do play with colleagues, you have to be distanced, and in some cases, those distances are pretty extreme. So you can't pick up on the subtle gestures, as you said, the subtle breaths when you're sitting right next to someone. Do you think that it's, again, silver lining would be there's kind of an evolution of musician sensitivity that might be happening?
You know what? It's just like when we were monkeying around with the levels here. Yeah, I think in some ways definitely yes, because you have to dial in your kind of volume level for listening or awareness a lot higher. It's quite straining, I would say. You know, it's now, does it have a permanent kind of like, is it a permanent skill that you develop when you do that? Or once you can sit close with your colleagues, you just, you know, tear those levels down and you adapt to that? I don't know till we actually will be able to play closely together. But, you know, but for sure it keeps the life interesting, no doubt. I think that, you know, human beings are so wonderful at adapting to new challenges. And musicians are, you know, kind of the prime example. We are always asked to adapt. You know, we have a new conductor waving a stick in front of us and he wants something different than the guy before that. Mm-hmm. So what do? Well, you have to adapt and you have to deliver. So in that sense, I think we're positioned really quite well to thrive given the opportunities.
All right. And those opportunities may be opening up just a little bit more as the days and weeks go by. Let's hope at any rate.
We definitely hope so, yes.
Yeah. But we do have something coming up on the near horizon at this week, as a matter of fact, at the Fox Theater, a celebration of Valentine's Day. And that does involve you and Archie Chen. So tell us a little bit about the program, and then we'll maybe hear a sample or two.
Sure. So so I guess the concept is that, you know, how do you make a Valentine's Day special? And the typical avenues are sort of very limited these days. You know, do you want to go out and freeze yourself in one of those tents that has the doors open? You know, it's sort of romantic, but it's not very comfortable. Or do you chance to go inside? Some people do, you know, but some people are not feeling comfortable about that. So the option here is that Spokane Symphony got together with the Beacon Hill Catering Company, and essentially they came with this concept that you can order a dinner for two. I believe the deadline is this Wednesday at 6 p.m. I mean, that's how long you have to still order the dinner. And you have a special catered dinner for, I think it's $60. And with that, you not only get food, but you also are going to get a video of me and Archie playing several of kind of a very romantic pieces. So they kind of will go with the meal. Let me grab my violin. I play just a tiny bit of a sample for our audience. And maybe some of you are familiar with this piece. So you see, so imagine that you're sitting at the table, you have a wonderful food, and this kind of, you can set it as a background or a feature. You can just listen to it or you can watch it. So I think it can make the day really quite special and unique. And it's going to be kind of the one-time deal where it's going to be specially catered for you. Now, there's also one more, I think, interesting things. As I told you, you know, I'm the guinea pig, so they're experimenting with me. So we're actually going to record the program for that concert tomorrow night at 7. And I believe that there is a Facebook contest on the Spokane Symphony Facebook page. So you can look up, you know, Spokane Symphony on the Facebook, and you probably find it if you already don't know it. And there's a giveaway that for a lucky couple, they can actually come to the recording session, you know, sit, you know, within safety guidelines at the Fox and witness the whole process of recording this program. So they actually would get a real life concert, which is pretty much unheard of these days.
Absolutely. And the whole idea of having this be essentially a private concert for you and your guest, that is truly special. So that, again, is through the Spokane Symphony's Facebook page, and that is something that if you would like to be in line for that, you've got to respond by 5 o'clock today. And the deadline for ordering the what they call the dinner and serenade package is on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. The only thing that would make it better would be if everybody could actually be in the theater in another venue, sitting at tables and enjoying the music. But this is as good as we can get right about now.
You know, and also one of the very interesting things, you know, I've been on this whole concept for a while now, if you recall. Before the pandemic, I created this thing called the M Show, where we would do kind of, you know, crazy and interesting things in not in the Fox, actually in different venues. But I've always been fascinated with this whole concept. What can you do with the modern technology that you cannot normally do at the concert hall? So one of the things that you can do is, because we not only record the audio, but we also record a video. See, at the concert, when you come to the concert hall, even if you have the expensive seats, you know, you're going to sit 10 feet from me, you know, the best case scenario. But usually it's a little farther than that. Now with the camera, you can literally get within inches to see what my fingers, what my bow is doing. You know, am I making faces? Might be harder this time because I'll be in the mask. But you know, you will see in my eyes if there is joy or fear when there is something really difficult happening. Oh, but you know, so the technology allows us to get closer in some ways, and it almost like you could imagine more intimate in some ways. So I think that as far as it's not necessarily a substitute, but it is a different way of experiencing a performance when you can be in your home, you can have a video of an artist playing the music that you love and enjoy. Maybe you can have a meal. It's all much less formal than normally you would do. But I think it has a possibility of being unique and special still. And I think, you know, ultimately that's what we are trying to do as artists, is to create unique and special moments in your life so for that music can touch you and enhance your life experience. So we'll see how it goes. We are working with Hamilton Studios on that, and they are wonderful as far as, you know, making things look right. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the guys with the lights and everything else are experimenting, and it's like, oh, you know, if we do a little bit of this light, how is that making you feel? So that's, you know, there's a lot of that goes into it to create a special experience. So I hope that the audience that decides to take a plunge and buy the dinner and entertain their special person in their life, that they're going to enjoy it.
There are two other pieces that are on your program, and one is, I think they're both really quite well known, but for entirely different reasons. So could we hear just a little bit of the Monty for a second?
Ah, okay, the Monty. So it has two parts. There's the... So it has the kind of very Romanian cafe feel of 1920s and 30s. You know, it's a gypsy music, which means that there is some fireworks going on later on. But I'm not going to play it right now because I didn't really warm up yet. Mm-hmm. I need really fast fingers.
Well, you'll have to partake in the symphony's performance in
yes.
order to enjoy that. And then the third one is a tune that... Not to disclose too much, but it's a tune that I grew up with.
Really?
Yeah, and I still remember some of the lyrics. The most notable, of course, is the way it starts. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It brings back lots of childhood memories, but we're not going to go there right now. You have spent quite a bit of time working with Archie Chen,
mm-hmm.
and that goes not just to the things you've done at the Fox and even in earlier last season with the chamber music
Right.
soirees with Archie, and also the performance you did for Inland Sessions
yes.
on KSPS. You were telling me when you came in that there could be a recital that will emerge ultimately from all the work you've done together.
True. I mean, we've been skimming. I mean, the truth is that, again, pre-pandemic, we're all like super busy. There's never a time to, unless you like really get organized, to put something, you know, and polish it and deliver a product, like a nice, satisfying recital. Now, because of all the opportunities that we get to record and try pieces out and see what feels good, we're talking, it's like, hey, we totally have a recital program out of all those things we are playing. Shall we do it? And of course, I already have heard from some of my friends that, hey, I mean, if you have a rehearsal, if you have a recital, you know, my house is open. I can have a few guests here and there, and we can do kind of a house concert. So I think it's a pretty good idea. And yes, and what I think that once we get kind of to the point where we can gather in limited numbers and you know, and feel safely in someone's living room with the windows open. So maybe we wait just a little bit to, you know, till it gets warmer, because now
not a good idea this week.
Yeah, that's
especially.
Like, you know, you're trying to make me play in one of those tents. Yeah, my fingers do not move. You know, you go below 50. Neither my fingers or my violin like it very much. So yeah. But if once the weather gets nicer and some of our friends open the doors to their house, then we definitely are going to play some music, because I'm really starved for the live interaction with the audience. Mm-hmm. And playing a music and not having a microphone in my face and just playing, you know. I think that is something from my perspective that probably is the one of the things that I'm looking the most things forward. Yeah, it's just to not have to worry that the microphone is on. You have to be perfect. And you know, and of course, on one hand, you always want to be perfect, so one doesn't exclude the other, but losing yourself in the music, mm-hmm. that's why I do what I do, and currently the current life makes things a little bit more challenging.
Right, and just like you were talking earlier about the connection among the musicians who are working together in an ensemble and picking up of subtle cues and how that all helps it come together at a different level. Likewise, having an actual audience there is a kind of, it's kind of the same thing, really. It's part of the chemistry of this situation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, this is something that I've been thinking quite often about. What makes it different that when you have the audience, when you don't have the audience? You know, right now, again, we are in the beautiful Fox Theater. We're going to be recording there tomorrow night, and the acoustics in the hall don't change that much. You know, it's a great hall. You play an audience just soars in there, and there is something that is unexplainable that happens when you have the energy of in that room of other human beings sitting, and you know, and there's number of memorable moments from the days past when I remember, you know, the orchestra plays something really beautiful and lush and bombastic, and all of a sudden the sound thins out and it's almost like it's so quiet that you could hear the pin drop. And in that moment you feel like the hair on the back of your head just starts standing up. And it almost like you feel like everybody stopped breathing. And the magic that happens in that moment, it's something completely unexplainable. I mean, you know, if you are in that kind of situation, if you're in the audience or if you're on a stage, you know exactly what it feels like. I mean, it's impossible to explain. It's just magic. And I never know, how is this happening? I mean, you walk off the stage, it's like, how did that happen? Did you feel it? Yes, I felt it. You know, it was so special. It was so wonderful. But that's... that is something that's the high that you get as an artist, and I think it's the moment of deep intimate connection that music allows us to have. And I think that you know, the connection is something that we right now are experiencing, how important it is. You know, you take it away from us, you know, I have to talk with you through through a distance,
two layers of glass here.
Yeah, looking through the glass. You know, that's a kind of like eating ice cream through a store window. I don't know. I think that once we are out of this whole mess, our appreciation to feeling connected, being allowed to be together, I think it's going to make us hopefully have a double take once in a while and realize how special it is. Because I'm definitely personally experiencing what it feels like to be removed from my friends. Thank goodness I have a wonderful family that, you know, they get to share my home with. And the things are going mostly well. Although we were watching this video, it's absolutely fantastic. It was been making rounds. Like, you know, if you have a choice to spend the quarantine with, you know, if you have a choice A and B, if you have a choice to spend your quarantine with A, your wife and the kids, you go B, definitely B. And it's not that bad for us. But having other people in our lives is so important, and not really having that, it's just not fun. And I have a number of friends that are single, and they're all stuck at home, mm-hmm. and you know they try to connect. I mean, I've had more phone conversations in the last few months than I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So you know, which is also nice, because all of a sudden you realize, wow, I have not talked to that person. In a while, you know, let me just pick up a phone. So that's been, you know, kind of nice.
There are upsides to it, but far more downsides, I think. But, you know, things are beginning to look at least a bit hopeful, and it's entirely possible that you and colleagues of the orchestra will be able to gather in at least somewhat larger numbers before too long and get back to that kind of music making that you are really living for.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely keeping my fingers crossed, and you know, very grateful for all the medical staff that we have here in this town and around the world. I mean, right now those people are something that gives us all hope, because you know, I think hope is what we really all need. Coming together is what we need, and I think there's nothing better than bringing people together. It's to listen and play music.
All right. Yes, absolutely. Well, Mateusz, thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your time today. And no actual performance except for those who might get in under the wire before this afternoon at 5:00 on the Symphony's Facebook page to be the ones in the audience to witness Mateusz and Archie Chen record the pieces that you can explore virtually. And there is dinner involved if you wish, and you can find out everything at SpokaneSymphony.org, and it should be a grand time had by all, however virtually. Again, Mateusz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.